Hello and welcome to this, our service from the Church of the Epiphany for Sunday, September the 26th. The flowers in the sanctuary today are to the glory of God and in loving memory of dear parents, Leon and Stella, brothers Tom and Art Ouellette, and sister Laura, given by Terry Ouellette. Bob's calendars are ready. There are four themes. This very high-quality calendar is selling for only $10, and you can call Bob or email to order yours. And all the funds go to the church. There's going to be a concert, proceeds to the work of the church, Denise Pelley, Steve Hollowitz, and Adam. It's going to be called To You With Love from Down the Street. And it'll be on Saturday, October the 2nd at 7:30 at night and Sunday, October the 3rd at 2 p.m. All tickets must be purchased in advance, and you can let us know if you can sit with a group of people so we can group people in the church. And a Bible study Mondays at 10 with Reverend Peter. The Fun Drive Loadout is Wednesday, November 17th at 1 o'clock. Remember to save your canceled stamps for Gloria Thompson. The food cupboard. Thanks, Butch, for administering our food cupboard. And thanks for everyone who donates food or money for gift cards. And we certainly can use some donations at this time if you're so inclined. Thanks for your generous love of Epiphany. Our church does much good quietly without fanfare, so let's all keep up our good work, even as we're coming out of our COVID. If you wish, regular donations or special donations may be sent to our envelope secretary, Barb Smallman. Her address is in the email. Thanks to Ron and Adam and Anusha and Stephen and Dan for all the help with this weekly service online. Check out the back of the bulletin feature in the email. And now the opening of our worship. Let us gather our thoughts. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And we respond with and with thy Spirit. And now we pray. Holy Wisdom, you granted Solomon's request for an understanding mind and the knowledge to discern good from evil. Fill us with such understanding and knowledge that we may act as instruments of your loving desire for creation, working with you to transform our conceit into concern for others, our fear into love, our violence into peace, our brokenness into wholeness. Amen. And our gospel reading is from Mark chapter 9. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt's good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And now a sermon. A few years ago, there was a Mensa convention in San Francisco. Mensa, of course, is the organization whose members have an IQ of 140 or higher. And several of the Mensa members were lunching at the local cafe. And while dining, they discovered that the salt shaker contained pepper and the pepper shaker was full of salt. You could tell because one, the holes formed an S, and the other, the holes formed a P. The Mensa members, naturally inquisitive, began to question how they could swap the contents of the two bottles without spilling any of the contents, using only the implements at hand. After all, this was clearly a job for the best minds available. The group debated and presented ideas and finally came up with a brilliant solution involving a napkin, a straw, and an empty saucer. They called the waitress to their table, convinced that they would dazzle her with their solution. "Ma'am," they said, the pepper shaker contains salt and the salt shaker contains pepper." "Oh," said the waitress when they finally got her attention. "Oh, sorry about that." And without further comment, she unscrewed the caps of both bottles and switched the caps and then said, "Will that be one check or separate checks?" I guess the Mensa members learned something about the worth of common sense that day. But let's talk about salt shakers for a few moments today. Jesus described his followers as the salt of the earth. In Matthew 5:13, he says, "You are salt of the earth." And if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, in those days, salt was a really valuable commodity. Salt was valuable for two reasons. It preserved food and it enhanced the flavor of food. We all know how essential salt is for enhancing the taste of food. On some of our most popular foods, salt really brings out the flavor. An interesting story. In 1853, a man, George Crumb, a chef in New York, accidentally invented a popular new dish. An annoying patron kept sending his French fried potatoes back to the kitchen because they were soggy. In an attempt to teach the customer a lesson, Chef Crumb sliced the fries extra thin and fried them to a crisp and then drowned them in salt. To his surprise, the complaining customer actually liked the new kind of fries. Thus, potato chips were born. Now, what would potato chips taste like without salt? Or how about French fries for that matter, or popcorn? Obviously, we can overindulge in salt, but let's admit it, few of us would voluntarily go on a completely salt-free diet unless we have to. When Christ said that we are the salt of the earth, perhaps he was saying that we should bring flavor to life as he brought flavor to life. Wait a minute. How do we bring flavor to people's lives? Well, we do it by showing them genuine concern. How often does someone showing genuine concern brighten you up? We add to life when we let someone know that somebody cares for them. One Saturday in a small town in Michigan, there was a 5K foot race, a short run. And this foot race featured different age classes of runners. A 9-year-old boy in the race named Bowden was showing signs of fatigue. And behind him, a 19-year-old boot camp recruit, Miles Kerr, was journeying up the miles. Miles noticed that Bowden was really struggling, and Miles offered him some encouragement. Bowden looked up at Miles and asked, "Will you please run with me?" As you may know, soldiers don't leave their fallen buddies behind, even if they're only 9 years old. It took almost 36 minutes for Bowden and Kyle to run that 5K race together. Their story, though, was carried on Facebook, which added these words: "By his unwavering commitment to help those in need, through his ability to inspire others, by his unequivocal level of motivation, Miles Kerr was keeping the highest traditions of the military." That's the first thing salt does. Salt brings flavor to food, livens it up. Traditionally, however, salt has played an even more important role in the lives of human beings. For many generations, it was the only real preservative humanity had for food. Indeed, before the modern miracle of refrigeration, people were quite limited in the foods they could enjoy because they were limited in preserving food. In his book, Salt for Society, author W. Philip Keller recounts many of his experiences as a youngster growing up in East Africa. His family lived at the equator under severe tropical conditions. There was no refrigeration available to them. For the first 18 years of his life, as a result, his family had no way to preserve food. So like many generations before them, they used salt to preserve their food. Keller recalls how tons and tons of beef, lamb, and wild game were cut into slender strips and that were then soaked in salt solution. Then those strips would be hung to dry in fierce sunlight to become what they would call jerky. Keller never took anything but jerky with him when he went anywhere. It made for a light but nourishing meal. Salt both preserved the food in the intense heat. Those jerky foods also offered great strength when eaten. That's always been so. Salt was so valuable that the soldiers of the Roman Empire received their allowance or their pay in salt. The original English word salary comes from this practice, or the saying, you're worth your salt. Salt has been considered a very valuable commodity, even in our land, all the way up to current times. Think of the lucrative salt mines at Goderich. We simply cannot overemphasize how important salt was to the earlier societies, including our own. The question is, how do we as followers of Christ serve as salt in our time? Well, here's one answer. Are we not those who have been entrusted with the task of preserving for future generations the idea of love that Jesus brought to earth? Isn't that the essential task of the people of Christ? To be a witness to Christ's presence in the world, to Christ's love. A few years ago, a book came out that was called Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. The author's thesis is, salt is good, but if salt stays in the salt shaker, what good is it then? How can it flavor life if it stays in the salt shaker? How can it preserve food if it stays in the shaker? How can it take away slippery slopes if it stays in the salt shaker or container? How do we get the salt? How do we get the salt that will change our world out of the salt shaker? Simple. The followers of Jesus have to go out into the world and love the world. We are salt, we're told by Jesus. By each of us drawing closer to Christ so that his love will radiate through us, the salt leaves the salt shaker. We, like salt, are maybe not noticed until we're missing. Like salt, we change the world quietly. We help the world quietly. We add flavor to the world, love to the world. Like salt, without much fanfare. And now our hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Our Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten before the Father. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And our prayers. Lord God, friend of those in need, your Son Jesus has united our burdens and healed our spirits. Lift up the prayers of our hearts for those still burdened, those seeking healing, those in need within the church and the world. And this week our prayers are asked for Velma, Zayden, Kendra, Shirley, Helen, Deborah, Regina, Zach, Peter, Mark, Dan, Linda, Dean, Alan, Aunt Frankie, Brian, Marcel, Tara, Jeff, Nicole, Shelley, Connie, Jim, Jack, Jack, Julie, Jim, Mary, Kiana, Ella, Evelyn, Marion, Jade, Dory, Belinda, Kim, Edie, Ross, Francis, Bill, and Jeff, Michelle, Pat, Grant, and Kathy, Hope, Valerie, Pat, and Tony, Melanie, Marlene, Pam, Bill, Sheila, Jessica, Sonia, Jamie, Linda, Jean, Brian, Diana, Ian, Edna, Matthew, Annika, David, Lila, Joanna, Janice, Darren, Roland, Pansy, Rob, Pat, Clark, and Alen. And we remember and pray for Margaret Edmondson and all who mourn her passing, especially Suzanne, Ian, and the entire family. And remember and pray for Fred Hollowitz and all who mourn his passing, especially Stephen, Teresa, and Adam. And hear our prayers, that we may love you with our whole being and willingly share the concerns of our neighbors. Amen. And now Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the Church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. And the blessing from the Book of Common Prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen. And thank you for worshiping with us this week. Always feel free to give a call, to be in touch, to send a text or an email. It's great to hear from you. And now, our parting blessing song with Anusha.
May God's blessings surround you each day as you trust Him. With Him, guard and keep you from sin.